Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
There's one thing that will forever change the way you sleep, and it's the softest, 100% organic cotton bedding from Bull & Branch. You'll fall asleep faster, wrapped in the most luxurious comfort. You'll never sleep hot again with airy blankets, cloud-like duvets, and breathable sheets. You'll experience pure comfort on night one and feel your bedding get softer with every wash. Discover the difference with 15% off your first order at bowlandbranch.com with code Odyssey. Exclusions apply. See site for details.
Head to Safeway this week for these amazing deals for their members. This week, it's all about buy five and get five free when you buy 10 mix and match participating items. Here are just a few. Coca-Cola, 7-Up, Pepsi, or Smartwater beverages of various sizes. 16-count fresh baked cookies and pint-sized Ben & Jerry's ice cream, as well as 6 mega or 12 double rolls of Signature Select soft and strong bath tissue and 6 rolls of Brightly paper towels selected varieties. Visit Safeway.com for more details. See you in the aisles.
97.1 FM Talk.
On-demand audio.
Well, usually I keep things relatively light on a Friday evening. I'm going to divert from that plan here just a little bit. And obviously, we're talking about the plane crash. I am going to talk about this game of paddle. You know, pickleball is huge, but there's this new game called paddle. I don't think it's exactly brand new, but it's really taken off. So Cliff Marsland's going to join us. He's the director of rackets and assistant GM at Paddle and Pickle. And it's off of Olive soon. The way that Cliff, I met him a couple weeks ago when I was playing pickleball with my dear friend Jeff Drew. And Cliff described paddle, P-A-D-E-L, as sort of a mixture between squash, tennis, pickleball, and racquetball. You can play and you can play it off the walls, right? So he'll explain all this to us here. We will lighten the load at the end of the hour. Plus, I have audio cut of the day. But Abigail Schreier, who is, she's the partner of Barry Weiss, who started the Free Press at the FP.com, where really the only real journalism is taking place on the Free Press these days, or maybe on Substack. Abigail Schreier has been simply one of the heroes in this gender-affirming care nonsense movement, along with Riley Gaines and, you know, our friend Billboard Chris up in Canada. But Abigail wrote this piece yesterday, and I'm going to play some audio, too, from Jamie Reed, who is our whistleblower from here, because she was in front of the legislature in Kansas a couple of days ago testifying about some of this stuff. But this piece in the Free Press is quite something. She said, when the history of the 21st century gender mania is written, it should include this signal entry. In 2020, a website called GoFundMe, usually a place to find disaster relief appeals and charities for starving children, contained more than 30,000 urgent appeals from young women seeking to remove their perfectly healthy breasts. Why is it that I'm just reading that now, by the way? There's a question for journalists out there. Another entry from June of 2020, the New England Journal of Medicine, America's platinum medical publication, right? We got a couple of doctors, maybe some of you smart physicians at WashU who worked with some of these people who abuse children. They published a piece explaining that biological sex is actually assigned at birth by a doctor and not a verifiable fact based on our gametes stamped into every one of our cells. In fact, biological sex ought to be deleted from our birth certificates, the authors claimed, because a person's biological sex serves no clinical utility. Breaking news to gynecologists, of course. Public schools began asking elementary kids whether they might like to identify as genderqueer or non-binary. I have a friend whose daughter is about to be married. And when she was 17 years old, I remember him telling me, yeah, she identifies as queer. Well, I mean, she wasn't. She's straight as can be, but it was the cool thing, right? So public schools were asking kids, are you genderqueer or non-binary? And any dissent from this gender movement was met with suppression. The ACLU and their most prominent lawyer, Charles Strangio, announced his intention to suppress irreversible damage. That was Abigail's book. Well, it was a book-length investigation into the sudden spike in gender and transgender identification among teen girls. Stopping the circulation of this book and these ideas is 100% a hill I will die on, he said. Weeks later, Amazon deleted Ryan Anderson's book criticizing the transgender medical industry. She says, I could go on, but as of January 28th, 2025, I don't have to. On that day, President Donald Trump signed an executive order announcing that the federal government would no longer fund, sponsor, promote, assist, or support the so-called transition of a child from one sex to another, and that it would rigorously enforce all laws that prohibit or limit these destructive and life-altering procedures. And by the way, the other thing that he did today, and I'm so happy he did it, and I wonder how Michelle Lee, who likes to virtue signal at KSDK on her Twitter page, I can't follow her anymore because she blocked me. She's a she/her. It was confusing because her name was Michelle, so I didn't know, and I noticed that on the KSDK site, the virtue signaling. But Trump also banned amongst the federal workforce any use of pronouns in emails. Sorry, I root that on, and I love it because it's a bunch of nonsense. Abigail Schreier says, to the practitioners and promoters here in St. Louis, by the way, let's send this message to WashU and Children's Hospital. To you promoters and numberless devotees of pediatric gender-affirming care, a.k.a. child abuse, a euphemism, she says, a euphemism for the vast apparatus pushing junk science on vulnerable children, it came as a much-needed slap in the face. If it seems odd that the spell of pediatric gender medicine should have been ended by politicians and not physicians, consider that in America, politics is how it began. And this is where it gets interesting. She talks about Obamacare. This is where you need journalism, right? Abigail Schreier's doing some here. Section 1557 of the Affordable Care Act, President Barack Obama's signature legislation incentivizing and coercing private insurers to offer their products on a government exchange, prohibited those companies from discriminating on the basis of sex. And in May of 2016, 6 years after the bill was signed, the Obama administration's Department of Health and Human Services added this fateful qualification. Discrimination on the basis of sex was to include discrimination on the basis of gender identity. Obama effectively wrote into law through health care that gender identity is a protected class. So she quotes in this piece a healthcare executive and gender medicine researcher that says that this opened a huge new source of funding for these treatments. Where do you think WashU got their money, right? From us, from the taxpayers. Because once these insurers feel like they have to cover it, that's it. You just have to turn on the engine. And if an insurer covers testosterone to treat a man who is deficient, then according to gender ideology's cracked logic, the insurer would also need to cover testosterone for a woman identifying as a man. If a procedure to remove a man's unwanted breast tissue was covered, then a similar procedure for a woman identifying as a man must also be covered. Denying those claims could subject insurers to federal enforcement action. So Abigail says to mandate coverage for gender treatments, activists snuck in gender identity without even Congress voting for it. Transgender rights groups filed lawsuits to test whether judges agreed. Suddenly a woman was anyone who claimed to be one as far as provision of health care was concerned. Luxury cosmetic treatments became available even to minors covered by their parents' insurance at fire sale prices. Now, she said, when puberty blockers have never received FDA approval to treat gender dysphoria in youth, doctors could prescribe them off-label as long as they had reason to believe that they would be helpful to parents and patients. Everywhere physicians looked, activists and medical accrediting organizations and every news outlet of legacy media assured them as if one voice, these were life-saving treatments. Oh, these kids will commit suicide. They'll be dead if we don't cut their breasts off and give them hormones that are going to change their bodies forever.
Do you believe you were wrongfully terminated for speaking up against your employer? Wilshire Law Firm isn't afraid to go up against corporate giants and will protect you every step of the way. Get justice and feel safe. Call the experts at Wilshire Law Firm at 1-800-800-3333.
Hey, I'm Josh Fink, owner of Nick's Menswear. Getting married? Don't rent some random suit. At Nick's, we help you own the look for about the same price as a rental. You're marrying the love of your life. Don't you deserve a suit that's yours forever? Knix Menswear, your friend in style.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. On January 17th, Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+, and we can't wait for you guys to see it.
And before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recap podcasts.
Yep. Each weekday beginning January 7th, we'll be dropping an episode featuring exclusive behind-the-scenes tidbits and brilliant insights from our cast and crew and us.
Patricia Arquette, Britt Lauer, Zach Cherry, John Turturro, the list goes on.
All your favorite Lumen employees, their friends, families, enemies, in your feed every single weekday.
And here's the best part. After that, we're going to keep going. Tune in weekly as we recap every episode of season 2. The podcast drops on the same day the episode comes out.
It's the Severance Podcast with Ben and Adam.
On Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Remember WPATH, the World Professional Association for Transgender Health, an activist organization styled as a medical one, issued guidelines used as the standards of care by all major insurers and Medicaid to justify all this nonsense. I'm paraphrasing a little bit here to get through this piece. It was nonsense. And the Biden administration pressed onward. They sued states that enacted bans on medical transition for minors. Rachel Levine, Assistant Secretary for Health, good riddance, a transgender adult, successfully pressured WPATH to drop minimum age requirements for gender medical treatments and surgeries. That was in September of 2022. And again, President Joe Biden and his embarrassing vice president used the bully pulpit to assure transgender Americans, especially the young people, that your president has your back. It's a bunch of nonsense. And guess what? It's over. Trump has put the kibosh on it. Now let me go to Jamie Reed. Because if you're still confused as to why the kibosh needed to be put on this nonsense, this child abuse, she explains it pretty well. And you don't have to believe me. I'm a conservative, right? I'm an evil Nazi, according to the liberals. Well, she ain't.
I worked in pediatric gender medicine for nearly 5 years, and I was once a true believer. What I learned is that these are interventions based on poor research, poor evidence, and poor outcomes. Last week alone, two new systematic reviews were published in Canada, finding that puberty blockers and cross-sex hormones have zero to no evidence to support their use. Last night, in Queensland, Australia, puberty blockers were banned for those under the age of 18. In the center where I worked, I saw directly the patients who were harmed by these interventions, patients whose mental health got worse after initiation, and patients who mourned the permanent changes to their bodies.
Yeah, and where she worked was right here in St. Louis at WashU and Children's Hospital.
This all started with a small group of clinicians in the Netherlands who came up with this idea to transition kids. They were seeking the children they believed would go on to have a lifetime of troubles with their sex and intervene when they were young. Why? Because the transsexuals, adults that they were working with were not doing well. When they completed the first study, they found that the young people were proto-gay youth. 68 out of 70 self-proclaimed that they were same-sex attracted, and they transitioned them.
That is not a close number. Think about that. 68 of 70 were gay. They were just gay, and they hopped them up on puberty blockers.
And then we in America caught wind, and we cast a huge net across this entire country in every state, and we pulled in whoever could be caught. And now we see this problem. We see the proto-gay youth, the vulnerable, the children with autism, with mental health concerns, with trauma, and they have all been caught in this new group. And now there's a group of primarily girls influenced by TikTok, hurt by COVID lockdowns. These are straight girls with private insurance, with caring liberal parents, and we have transitioned them all. The social contagion is real.
Yes.
And now the problem is clear.
Yes.
The girls began to realize what had been done to them. They stepped up and said, stop, this is hurting us. And we now see the global crisis for what it is, and it needs to be stopped everywhere.
Now, listen, if Trump was not in the White House right now, this crap would still be going on. This is such an important election. I think a lot of us knew that. But the only thing missing, in my opinion, at this point are prison terms for people that worked on this stuff at WashU Children's Hospital in other cities, too, because it was child abuse. It's disgusting what happened, and I'm so glad it's stopping.
Get more at 971talk.com.